Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, viewers and listeners. My name is Kevin Graham and welcome to your Wednesday bulletin. The bulletin that has been told not to roll over, get in people's faces and bite some ankles. I'm joined by Colin and Brian and we're going to have a look at what's going on in the wonderful, magical world of Celtic and preview our game against the Marine Meanies. Brian, how are you?
I'm incredible, mate. How are you? Are you keeping okay?
Aye, doing fine, doing away. Looking forward to tonight's game. I always look forward to games at Tynecastle. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting involved with all the people in the comments as well. Because we've got quite a few online already and some decent comments. Colin, how are you?
Aye, we're on the roll down to the weekend and start it well with 3 points tonight, hopefully. Just before we do get started, Kev, I just want to bring this up because I nearly get caught out with this and I'm sure there'll be some people who probably weren't aware of this as well because I don't think it's been very well advertised. For the Bodo Glimt game in the UEFA Conference League, if you're a season ticket holder and you want to secure your ticket for your own seat for that game, the deadline is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So it's 2 o'clock this afternoon if you want to secure your ticket. If you're not on the Home Cup ticket scheme and you want to get your ticket for the Bodo Glimt game, it is 2 o'clock this afternoon. I nearly missed out on that because I only just seen the email from about a week ago. I don't think they've been too good at sending a wee reminder out on that one. So in case anybody misses it, 2 o'clock, just after this bulletin, that's all you've got to secure your ticket.
Well, listen to the bulletin first. Watch the bulletin first and go and get your ticket for Bodo Glimt. You didn't need to date the new. There's no way whatsoever that Celtic server's going to catch with thousands of folk, thousands of folk trying to get online to get a ticket for Bobo Glimt. Right, I think we need to start with Wim Jansen, eh? I think we'll have to have a wee start with Wim Jansen. The Celtic family yesterday received the devastating news that championship-winning manager Wim Jansen had passed away. Wim won Celtic's first title in 9 years. He gave me and us a memorable League Cup win at Ibrox, 3-0 against Dundee United. What a magic day. I remember the role we at the final whistle on that as well. Brilliant. And what's kind of forgotten about that season is the two great games he gave us against Liverpool in the UEFA Cup. They were two fantastic ties, and we were probably unfortunate to go out in that UEFA Cup tie. And they also gave us Henrik Larsson. When you actually look back on it, he crammed an awful lot into that season when he was the manager, and we'll be forever thankful for what he did in that season as a manager. Colin, what's your memories of Wim Jansen?
I've got to say, I was delighted to be invited on by the Endless Celts boys yesterday to kind of give some reflection on Wim Jansen's time at Celtic Park. And although I was still pretty young during that period, I was 3 when that season started, Kev. Memories are a bit vague from back then, but there was a story that I've got, and it's a bit different to maybe some other people. I was in primary school probably a couple of years just after that, getting right into Celtic round about the time Martin O'Neill takes over, which is a fantastic time to become a sort of full-time Celtic fan. But there was a school fete one weekend. Celtic weren't playing, went along, and I picked up this book, and it said Scottish Premiership winners 1997-1998. Celtic on the front of it, and I've got the book somewhere in the house, but I was pulling it up on Amazon last night. If anybody wants to get it, it's only 98 pence on Amazon, so there's only a couple left. Dig in there. It's written by Steve McGill, and it takes through the whole season of the 97-98 about how basically Rangers were going for 10 in a row. You've got how they sort of stormed into a bit of a lead, and you've got Marcus Negri being sort of the sort of unbelievable goal scorer and all that. But you've also got the whole idea of Celtic and how they come back into it and the second half of the season. And as a wee guy, I just kept flicking through it and flicking through it. I've read this book now about 100 times, and it just comes right down to the... Thanks, Robert. It just comes down to the kind of the last couple of pages where you've got Celtic obviously should have won it at Dunfermline the week before. And then obviously winning it on the last day, and there's a whole chapter on the last day, and it sort of breaks it down minute by minute as to how what was happening, because there was teams that were fighting for European places, were fighting for relegation, and obviously us and them fighting for the title. And it was enough as for me as a wee guy to totally fall in love with football, and at that point it made me want to go and watch Martin O'Neill's team. And looking at the story there and the foundation that was laid down by Wim Jansen's team, we speak about how Ronnie Dyla's laid the foundation for Brendan Rodgers' treble winning team. You could go back and say that Wim Jansen laid the foundation for Martin O'Neill's treble winning team with some of the players that he brought in there. And it was a real exciting introduction to football. And I'm going to have to go and buy the book again, because I loved it as a kid, and I'm sure I'll love it to read it again. I think I've lost it when I was moving house, and I'm really disappointed in that. But as a wee guy, what a treat. And it's probably the best pound I've ever spent on a Celtic book.
A pound on a Celtic book, eh? Studs Lanigan, incredible atmosphere at Ibrox that day, the League Cup final against Dundee United. It's a kind of magic. It was a great day, Brian. And it's one of those sometimes League Cup victories get forgotten, eh? But for me, the League Cup and the two games against Liverpool set a base for that season. Then signing Paul Lambert set the base for that season. Wim was part of that. He was just such a humble gentleman who was thrown into a season of chaos, and he handled it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, the comments about the ages. I think I was 15, and I remember me and my mum went to some friends and they were watching it, and I was allowed a wee shandy to celebrate. My first official drink in front of the family. I'm not saying it was my first official drink, I'll leave that to the imagination, but one of the things we were answering, and I mentioned it in our group chat the other day, is in terms of the impact he had in our club in just one season, it's pretty incredible. Stopping the 10, bringing in Larson, I mean, your legacy's sort of complete at that stage, and as you say, entered into absolute chaos, and I suppose there's comparisons can be made to what Ange entered into, but by all accounts, an incredible man, and you instantly feel for his family, whilst he'd been ill prior to this, and it's just an incredibly sad situation when anybody passes away. I think the Celtic fans, you know, remember him fondly, and again, whenever I think of Larson, I always think of that photo of the two of them together. So he's kind of, by proxy, you always kind of automatically think of Janssen, so huge loss.
See, when you think on it, Kev, when was the right man at the right time for Celtic? He had that sort of emotional appeal to Tommy Burns a couple of seasons before, and the way that Scottish football was back then, Tommy Burns didn't stand a chance because it was too emotional. There was too much sort of love for the club and pain coming because he couldn't deliver the trophies. And okay, he delivered the Scottish Cup and stuff, but when was the right man to come in who didn't feel the pressure of living in Scotland, who didn't feel the pressure of what 10 in a row could have meant for Scottish football? He just came in, played his football, got us playing the Celtic style of football. Not that Tommy Burns didn't, but he just got us playing that style that got us the victories, that got us the points.
He was pragmatic. He was a pragmatic manager.
And it was just the right person at the right time, I think. And you kind of sit here and go, maybe in hindsight, that's exactly what was needed last year. Someone who could come in who didn't fully appreciate the pressure of 10 and could have maybe changed the way that we played football last year.
I would have took pragmatic football last year rather than the football that we were served up, truthfully. Martin Bickett, watched the Dundee United game in the cup final, forgot how good Morten Wieghorst was. Morten Wieghorst was utterly fantastic that cup final. And Monty comes in, Wim Janssen's name will be well remembered in Celtic history. Not only did he stop the 10 and gave us Henrik, he was a lovely man. And I think that's something that we often forget, that Celtic represent certain, it goes right back to Willie Mealy. There has to be a certain humbleness about a football club, and Wim Janssen got that. My story about Wim Janssen is in Amsterdam 2001, when we went there to play Ajax, the famous Bobby Petter game. And me and my wife were standing, she wasn't my wife at that time, my now wife, we were standing waiting to go in to the stadium, the Amsterdam Arena. And there was a fight broke out in the beer tent to our right-hand side before we went through the turnstile. And I think I've actually seen pictures of this. There were Celtic fans going up the stairs into the stadium and they were singing into the beer tent, and the Ajax fans started lobbing pint tumblers and bottles at the Celtic fans on the stairwell. And the Dutch riot police obviously charged the Celtic fans because that's what Dutch riot police actually do. And as all bedlam broke out round about us as we were trying to go through the turnstiles in the stadium, I noticed the two elderly gentlemen who were trying to get in the turnstiles in front of me were Dr. Joe Venglos and Wim Janssen. Were going through the turnstile in front of me as complete and utter bedlam broke out round about us. So they were going in with the Celtic support that day. So that's my start. That was the closest I ever got to two Celtic managers. That is the closest I've ever been to two Celtic managers as they were going through a turnstile in front of me. I did think I had imagined it for years and years because I did have a lunch in one of the bakeries in Amsterdam, and I didn't care what they put in their donuts, but it certainly made the game more enjoyable, even though it was very, very enjoyable anyway. Now, I just want to quickly look back at the Alloa game before we move on to the big, big game tonight. Now, yesterday it was reported that Mohamed Niang would face a retrospective red card for his horrific challenge on Yosuke Ndaguchi. A challenge that Richard Foster says on Sports Scene was fair, and Iniguchi got himself injured for pulling out of the challenge. Richard Foster, who has the look of a man who should be serving me a 25 quid burger on a roof slate, never mind talking about football. Punditries know his game, I don't think, because he was on Radio Scotland this morning and he was saying about Hearts that Celtic Park was a hard place to go. So he doesn't even care that we're playing at Tynecastle tonight. A bit like football. Football wasn't his game either. So I made a wee quip at the start of the programme about Barry Ferguson's quote that was on the back of a national paper yesterday. So I'm going to ask you, Colin, did Barry Ferguson reveal a lot about himself as a manager by saying that he didn't send out his team to injure Celtic players, then confirm in his same sentence that he did send his team out to injure Celtic players?
I think it said a lot about Barry Ferguson's intelligence that he managed to put both of those sentences in the same sentence, because that's one of those things where it's like you see the loud part quiet and the quiet part loud, unfortunately, for Barry. But, I mean, are we really surprised? We spoke about this last week. We spoke about how we were going to turn into the game and they were going to come out, they were going to have a go at us. They did, because they should have scored for the halfway line, according to John Hartson. A 0.01 XG, according to some of our stats pals, but he should have scored it. It's a horrible park. We saw that. The ball was bobbling about. Going into these tackles, what did Mr. Amy McDonald expect? Did they think that the two of them were just going to go in studs high and that's just the way football is? Football wasn't even that 20, 30 years ago.
Colin, that's what he wanted. That was his explanation why he thought it was a fair challenge. He says if they went in 50-50, they bounce off each other and that's it. Peter Grant sitting next to him, you can see Peter Grant looking at him as if to go, what is he even on about? It was such a outrageous take, Brian, that it shouldn't have been broadcast. It should never have been broadcast.
Well, I think he should never be broadcast. But sadly, that's the you know, some of the people in the media and some of the people are asking opinions and the Barry Fergusons of the world that think that's acceptable. Sadly for me, it seemed the ref thought it was acceptable as well. And that's beyond madness. You know, we're talking about the boy getting a retrospective red. Well, the ref should be getting the red as well and getting his books, because either he's allowing that to happen, in which case there's an agenda there, but he's too stupid and incompetent to realise it's happening, in which case he's not good enough to referee the game anyway. The most concerning part for me about that game, and about the referee in particular, was actually McGregor's injury. So the challenge on McGregor, some people say intentional, some people say it wasn't. Irrespective, it was a head knock, and he was down for a couple of minutes before the game got stopped. That is dangerously negligent.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet, but if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And it's scandalous, and it doesn't matter what colour shirt he's wearing. If a player gives him a head knock, it should be treated right away. And the fact that the ref, you know, took his time to ground it is a scandal. And it, you know, we talk about the fact that one of my high horse, I got a bit wound up there, didn't I? Sorry about that. But the fact that, you know, we talk about these things and being dangerous for players and players needing protection, the fact you've got pundits endorsing that kind of behaviour, people, you know, so-called experts endorsing that behaviour, is scandalous. And in fact, you've got a so-called manager admitting as much as he said it to do the job, then I don't know, it's a sad state of affairs in Scottish football when that sort of stuff's allowed. And as I say, funding train just allows players and referees to think that that stuff's acceptable. And I say, somebody's going to get really dangerously hurt. And the fact that we've lost Callum McGregor for what could be, you know, a period of time, it can be a lot worse. And the tackle on Gucci, how he's known to have broken leg after that.
It's a horrible challenge. I mean, Brian's quite right there, Colm. We've got two aspects here. We've got a pundit on a national tele programme saying it's a fine, it's an okay challenge. And then you've got another thing. You've got Don Robertson, for the second time in 7 weeks, no seeing a potential leg break challenge on a Celtic player. Postecoglou's now come out and says our players need protection. Georgios Giakoumakis has now come out and says that the players need protection. It's about time your club came out and actually says it as well.
It is. And to be honest, I know Celtic do a lot of things quietly behind the scenes, and we spoke a couple of weeks ago about how the performance of Michael Nicholson was because he'd managed to bring in the players so far, and we had a couple, and we kept saying that sometimes you'll just see things going quietly behind the scenes, and other times you'll need someone to represent the fan base and to stand up and speak out. Now, we said at the time, Ange is the person that has been doing that this season. Ange has done it. What he needs now is for someone to back him up, someone to come out and say, yeah, my manager's right. And we do need to do that. Now, as ridiculous as it was sending in an 8-page dossier or 8 different points on one referee because you get your first red card in 2 years, it should have opened the door for every club in Scotland to go and do that. Because there is a terrible, terrible lack of professionalism in our refereeing in Scotland. Our referees are shocking. We can speak about the pundits being shocking as well. But the referees are at the worst level that I can ever think in the whole time that I've watched Scottish football. And that goes back to the point where you used to have Hugh Dallas refereeing Scottish football. You could tell he had a bit of a bias. And even that standard was better than what we're seeing right now. We can't talk about Celtic and Rangers and all these other teams progressing in Europe. And we can't talk about the Scottish League being undervalued in terms of a television deal. When you look at the product that's put out there week after week, we're paying part-time referees to do a full-time job. Now, no wonder they're nowhere near the standard that they need to be. These guys are working 9-5 and then going and covering that game. There has to be a professional level of refereeing brought in Scottish football where these guys do maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the training park, doing scenarios like that week in, week out, look at the video reviews and say, who got that wrong, who got it right? And then when it comes to actually playing the games on the Wednesday and Saturday, maybe they'll actually see the tackles that were actually yellow cards, were actually red cards. And it's the only way that we'll improve the standard of Scottish football is if we improve the refereeing system. We then look into VAR, and then in terms of pundits, we'd be as well scratching the basis and starting again with them because they're all dreadful. There's not a good one in Scottish football, perhaps with the exception of Chris Sutton. And we don't even see him because he's too busy down south nowadays.
Michael Stewart seems to have disappeared as well recently. Jim Hannaway does come in and says, at least our Peter called it as a straight ledge on the straight red on the highlight show, spot on. He did actually. He was quite amusing. He says, well, tackling was part of my game, but that's a straight red. that's what he did say. Colin, I completely agree with you there. The referees are absolutely shocking, and I didn't want this to turn into a referee fest. We've had a rant about it and we'll kind of move on. We'll move on, Colin, and I kind of you got your wee bit of soapbox there. That was great. I loved that. That was brilliant.
I see it all the time. I mean, you've seen if you watched the Scottish Cup weekend there, I don't know if you've seen the Hearts Auchinleck game, but Boyce was about 2 yards onside when he scored and it was ruled out, and there was a boy that Superman punched the ball and get away with it. It's not just happening in our games, it's not just happening in their games, it's coming across the whole of Scottish football, and it's embarrassing. It's utterly embarrassing. As a team that says we should be part of Europeans elite, how can you say, well, come and watch us play St Mirren on the Saturday and watch a guy that doesn't know his offsides for his free kicks? It's dreadful. We've got to increase the game and the level as a whole. That will bring through better players and it will attract more people to Scottish football.
Paradise 63, it's pointless paying biased refs more money. Well,
see, I get this question as well, and I promise this will be the last one I make, right? We've got a linesman who is an MP and is an MSP and is a linesman and also has a job as a consultant. Now, his third most important job is as a referee. He runs part of his party up north and he's involved down south.
Not, not according to Jacob Rees-Mogg, does he? He doesn't get well, according
whatever, he's irrelevant to him. But imagine having a job that pays you £700 per appearance and that's your third most important job. I mean, we don't need to pay the guys more. We just need it so that when you look at it, if they have a terrible performance, they're dropped. And if they're dropped, they don't earn anything that week. See these guys that are dropped? They don't care. They've got a 95 that pays them 30, 40 grand a year. They're picking that up as pocket money. We need the responsibility to fall back onto the referees.
Right, we need to save this podcast, boys, because I've mentioned Jacob Rees-Mogg on a Celtic podcast, and I need to actually try and save this. So, on to Not the 10 O'Clock News. Colin, to cheer you up on Not the 10 O'Clock News, let's play some, just picture in the background, like the end of the Incredible Hulk, that orchestral music and stuff like that. Your mate, your pal, your great white hope, Leo O'Connor, is signed for Tranmere Rovers.
Yep.
How do you feel?
I thought you were meant to be picking me up here, Kev.
Well, bring you back up in a couple of minutes.
Good. Do you know what? Good luck to him. He's had a fantastic season down at Tranmere. He's definitely been one of those players that's he's found the right kind of fit of club for himself at the minute. I'm surprised that he didn't get more chances, especially during pre-season, but you don't really know what goes on behind closed doors. He's still only 21. He's still kind of making his way through the Irish national team as well. He'll probably be one that goes on to have a better career probably down south than what he will have up. We spoke last week about guys like Darryl, what's his name? Played right back for us a couple of seasons ago. Young boy came through Jimmy Johnson Academy.
Oh, it will come to us. Darnell Fisher.
And how he's had a fantastic career down south and really couldn't make it through up here. There's certain people that just suit kind of down there. And look, we picked up O'Connor, we picked up Frimpong at the same time. The big hope was that O'Connor would be the one that broke through first. It didn't seem to go that way, but at least we made a bit of money out of the two of them.
Definitely. Paddy Laverty. Kev, that tune is called The Lonely Man. That Colin was a lonely man on the WhatsApp group shouting for Leo O'Connor. I can confirm that anyway. Brian, Adam Montgomery looks like he's going to go on loan to Kilmarnock. My first question is what has he done in this football club to be made to go and play with Kyle Lafferty and Derek McInnes?
He's obviously up to this Sunday and wanting to play with Big Lafferty. I think it's a good move for him, actually. I think that, Kilmarnock should be they've not been great, but they should be the dominating team in that league. So, in theory, Montgomery playing in that position of dominance should kind of echo in a smaller scale his experiences at Celtic. I think it bodes well that Paul Scott was trying to get a lot of these guys out and loan, getting game time. Because it doesn't feel to me like some players get sent out and loan and you know they're going to disappear. Like Leo O'Connor, like Luke O'Connell. Sorry, Colin. But it feels like they're actually getting sent out with a purpose. They're getting sent out to really get game times and feature moving forward. So I think he's a good player. I really like him. I don't think he's ever really let himself down. But I do think he's at the age where he has to play. So I think it's going to be an all-round good move. I've seen the young guy as well for the Colts who's went to Airdrie.
Mm-hmm. Brody Patterson.
Aye.
Again, what has he done to deserve to get sent to Airdrie?
No, I don't know. Maybe he's talking him up a wee bit, bring him into size. But I think it bodes well that we seem to be having an eye on the coach and looking at these guys. You feel like he's specifically picking the guys he thinks can feature moving forward to get game time. So it would be really interesting to see how it gets on, but fair play to him. I hope he does really well, and I hope he's a big laugh at me, a good doing in training as well.
Colin, I just feel for Adam Montgomery, it's a move to progress him. It's not a move to actually put him in the shop window for to be punted in the summer, doesn't it?
No, it's definitely to get him some game time, and I think it's the right move. Kilmarnock are sort of challenging for promotion in the championship. You want to be giving them to a team that are trying to win every single week instead of maybe a team that's fighting relegation. I'd heard earlier on that maybe some of our younger players will be making the move down to St Johnstone before the window closes, and I'm not 100% certain on that because I don't really fancy giving our guys the experience having to battle relegation, especially when you're wanting to maybe throw them back into the first team. So I think that's the right move. I think the discussion was between Nair and Arbroath, and I'm sure he'll miss the opportunity to be coached under Dick Campbell, which seems to be a fantastic experience for all those involved. But the move down to Kilmarnock is probably closer to home for him. And as I said, it's a team that's wanting to win every single game. So good luck to him.
Was that the same Dick Campbell who also says on BBC Scotland that the guys at Arbroath would have them in the trenches as he's fighting the Japanese?
Which he is did that what say he said?
That's what he says the day after Celtic signed the three Japanese guys. So I'm not taking the cuddly aspect of Dick Campbell. There was serious racial undertones in, for me, in that comment, what he actually says live on the radio. So I'm not big on Dick Campbell.
I've got to say, Kev, I wasn't aware of that, but I mean, what you've seen from these players this season, and I know one of the boys because he's a local Greenock boy, what they've managed to do for that team's unbelievable. But as you said, unfortunately, some people have sides of them that they probably don't want to air too much.
Definitely. Odd Bob, this is one for us lads. Rather Jacob Rees-Mogg get a mention than Brendan Rodgers for a change. Odd Bob comes in and pulls us up every week for keep on talking about Brendan Rodgers. So there you go, Odd Bob. Let's have a wee look. Uragiri's been linked to a move to Belgium and Italy rather than Dundee now. That'll be a decent move for him. It's a bit more sexier than Kilmarnock and Dundee and Airdrie. Anyway, gone to Verona. Or what's the team, Jack Hendry's old team? Was it Ostend?
Ostend.
He's linked with them. And Barkas, we seem to have priced him out a move to Sheffield United. Brian, for the sake of Barkas' career, he needs to move on, eh?
Aye, definitely, he needs to go. Again, I understand it's a bit of haggling that seems to have went awry. But yeah, he has to go. It's actually, it'll be interesting to see over the next few days. You know, Barkas goes, Ballingolly goes, Ayeti, Zorro. These guys all go. We've probably done very well in this transfer window because I think we would actually have brought in more than we've let out, despite the fact we've signed five players. So, you know, you can see the books are still going to get balanced, I think. But yeah, for the sake of his career, Urigiri's an interesting one. Because the improvement in him from when he started pre-season to the game against Betis was really tangible. He looked a lot better. So it'd be interesting to see if he's the same as Montgomery and that he's getting sent out to come back and be a part of the team. Again, his age benefits him, and I think the Belgian leagues and Italian leagues are also better standards than playing at Dundee. So again, good move for him as well, but it'd be interesting to see who else goes, and I suspect it probably will be, you know, kind of loan to buys. That seems to be, I think that was Barkas's, wasn't it, that was going to loan to the end of the season and they'd have $2.5 million buyout, but I think said he wanted Sheffield to pay his full wages or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for his career, I mean, listen, I've slated him, I keep calling him hologram hands. But he's obviously, I want the guy to have a good career, but he does have to move. It's just not work for him.
I'm starting to feel really sorry for him. I mean, we've got Brian saying that he's got hologram cams, so he can't catch a ball. We've got him going down to Sheffield United on the train, taking a picture of himself saying that he was on the move, and then the deal gets done, so now he can't catch a break. What can he catch? I mean, I feel sorry for him. One of the biggest things, though, that came out of that is the fact that he's on $20,000 a week wages. Which is a major concern for me, that suggests that we do have to do something to move him on. See, if he was down in Sheffield and there was a deal to be done there, surely you get it over the line. I mean, I know we're the sort of chief master negotiators arguing over the last penny and stuff like that, but for a guy that's not going to feature in your fourth choice goalkeeper, surely a deal could have been done there.
But then Colin, to actually play, what age is he? He's 27. So he is still quite young for a goalkeeper. He's probably on the largest contract that he'll ever get in his career. So by the time that contract runs out, he's still going to be quite young for a goalkeeper.
True.
So I don't know. I don't know the mentality of Barkas. It might be that he just wants to play football, or it could be that he's going to sit there and go, I'm just going to sit here and let my contract run out because I'm on an extremely good contract that I'm not going to get anywhere else in football.
Bobo Baldi, Mark, too.
It could well be.
Yes, if that's his thinking, then, you know, we're the ones giving the contract. You know, we're the ones
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
As much as it's frustrating for fans, you can't blame the guy either. If he does sit it out, it's frustrating because we made the bad decision to spend that amount of money, so it's hard on us.
See, when you think on it, 20 grand a week, what could you have got in terms of maybe a loan player to cover some of these injuries and stuff like that, if you were able to shift that 20 grand a week out? I mean, that's roughly what we were meant to have been paying for, not a second time round, but the first time round, Elanusi's wages was roughly about 20 grand. The second time round, you ended up paying quite a bit more. But, I mean, you just wonder who the kind of maybe player out there that you could have brought in, especially with these injuries mounting up. To get that 20 grand off the wage bill and bring someone else in, I don't see how we couldn't have just got this done. I know we're going to have to take a loss on it at the end of the day, but if it's over a couple of hundred grand or whatever it is in terms of his final transfer fee, in the long term, surely it's a better deal for Celtic just to let him go.
You would think that, eh? The buckled Ferbie comes in Belgium or the scheme. That must take an age to decide. You mentioned goalkeepers, and we're going to be facing a goalkeeper tonight, which for me, there's a lot of revisionism going on about that we shouldn't have let him go. There is reasons why we let him go, and there is because one, we fought Fraser Foster, and it's not Craig Gordon's fault that he left and we ended up with Barkas. It's the folk that signed Barkas, not that Craig Gordon actually left, because if we would have ended up with Fraser Foster as a club thought, then we wouldn't be having this question of whether we should have let Craig Gordon go. It was just the fact that Gordon went, had a good season, and we had three goalkeepers who didn't show up for the whole season. So I think there's a lot of revisionism regarding Craig Gordon, but he's a fantastic goalkeeper. And as I sit here at this moment thinking about tonight's game, there's only two reasons I can see us dropping points. One reason is missed chances, and the second reason is Craig Gordon having a game of his life, which he did have at the first game at the start of the season, Brian, as well, against us. Another train of thought going into this game is we need to match up Hearts' physicality. It seems like the kicking that we got off Alawa sort of spooked quite a lot of the support. My thought is this, and my thought's always been the same, just go out there and beat them playing pure, beautiful, inventive football. Just go out there and spank them about the place playing football. I don't care about matching their physicality. I just want to play them off the park.
You know, if you play the way we're playing, it doesn't matter. I mean, look, some of the best teams in the world. I mean, Man City are only a physical team. And I'm not saying we're as good as Man City, but they just beat people by playing football. And you can do that. You'd want to be a hammer thrower that's sent out to injure people. What I would say was, you know, I don't think we're quite as lightweight as it's made out at times. You know, I think, you know, depending on who we play tonight, but, you know, Beaton, middle of the park, Giamakis up front, big CCV at the back. You know, hardly big boys, so if they need to put it about, they can. You know, James McCarthy had a good bit of dig coming off the bench as well. I think, you know, Ralston's going to play, but I like Ralston for his aggression as well. So the narrative that we're kind of physically weak, I think, probably false. I think it's just the fact that maybe because we're not flying into these tackles or doing these things, the perception is we're not up for the fight, but I don't buy into that at all. You saw the reaction for the players when Iniguchi got absolutely floored against Alawa. You know, they were right over, they were getting the boy's face. So I think we'll be physically good enough. And I think more importantly than that, regardless of who we play tonight, we've got, so the thing, the concern tonight is, I agree with you about the missed chances. I've been hurting on about it. I think it is something that's an annoying trend. For as dominant as we're being, we're not quite battering teams the way we should. In terms of the injuries, obviously missing key players, but the players that want to come in, they're still better than Eton Hearts, of course. You know, so I don't think we need to. It's going to be a hard game tonight, but I'm confident if we play to our strengths, I don't see any real reason we should be dropping points tonight. I think it's not going to be a canter, no game is, but I think we've got more than enough in the squad now. Maybe if this would have been a couple of months ago, it might be more a concern, but we've got enough quality in there to do it. And I've got to say, I fancy big Jay Marcus to take his chance. I know he's a bit of criticism, but I actually think he will thrive in this kind of game. He looks like he's up for the fight. He looks like he wants to let go. I agree with you, David. And I think he might thrive under that challenge, actually. Because I really enjoyed his post-match. I think he spoke well and he seemed to have the bit between his teeth. So we'll see how it goes on.
I think, Kev, sorry. I think one of the biggest things that Celtic have to watch out this evening is not to fall into that trap. Because we do have the players to be able to outplay Hearts on the park. I mean, if you look at the way that we outplayed Hibs in the first 45 minutes at Celtic Park last week, I mean, that was frightening to watch at times, the pace and the strength coming from the team. But if we do fall into the trap of Hearts wanting to slow the game down to kind of give the odd foul here and there and it just becomes a sloppy game, then it takes it back to me to that second half against Alloa on Saturday, where we lost our way in that game and we gave up on what was working for us. We were getting the ball wide, we were putting some great crosses in, a great ball from Scales, and Big GG puts it away. In the second half, we barely created any chances because it was so bogged down. We can't allow that to happen. We have to play our football, and if they want to try and do that, then let them do it. They'll be the ones that fall out of the game because of it. We can't let them dominate that. Because if we do, I'll put it down here now, we'll walk away from this game tonight with at least another injury.
Oh, I didn't like that prediction, Colin. Strangelove the doctor, all good teams try to play football. Is that because it's the name of the sport? It's not Gladiator. Well, contenders ready. If you listen to the Scottish football pundits, you think it is actually Gladiator at times. For me tonight, Postecoglou's got two choices to make. He's got one in the midfield and one in the centre forward position. We've started talking about the centre forward position, so we'll stay there. So, who plays through the middle tonight for you, Brian? Is it Giakoumakis or is it Lille Abada?
Giakoumakis for me. I think that Latham Home and Jota plays as well, but get service into the box. You're going to need to rely on an actual striker. Abada can play there and I actually like him there. I've said a few times I think he's probably better through the middle than out wide, but I do think Giakoumakis, he might not look like the most graceful player, maybe the greatest game against Alloa, but I think he's going to be a bit of a poacher, and I think Abada can snatch at chances at times. So for me, I would play him, and I just think he gives a different dimension to the team. He's something, if you need to lump balls into the box, you can. I think he'll match up well against Hearts' backline, because I think we'll slightly adjust. In terms of midfield, I think O'Reilly will play. So I think you look at it sort of balls through the channels and allow the wingers to put crosses in for Giakoumakis. So for me, he's the one that starts. He's striker, and from his perspective as well, if you're Postecoglou and you bench him tonight when he's the only fit striker, what does that do for his confidence? If I was you, Matt, I'd be furious. So I think obviously Postecoglou's got to put the team first, but in terms of man management, I think Giakoumakis starts.
Barry Boy 1888 says, we are worried about going into a game with a £2.5 million Eredivisie top goal scorer and a high related £1.5 million midfield. He's talking about O'Reilly there, which we'll get on to. Guys that are far superior to anyone Hearts have, no excuses. We need to get the 3 points tonight. I think whatever the starting 11 is tonight, is good enough to actually get the 3 points at Tynecastle. But Barry Boy makes a point there, Colin. why are we worried about a guy who was a top goal scorer in the Eredivisie last season?
I know, it's when you look at it on paper, you really shouldn't be worried. But I don't think he's done a lot for us yet to kind of say that, do you know what, we're comfortable with him coming in and playing football and playing up front for us, because that goal he scored on Saturday was a great finish. It was a great striker's finish, getting across his man and putting it right into the top corner. But then 2 minutes later, he's through one-on-one with the goalkeeper. You could see he's being held back. Instead of maybe the simple pass to Maeda to put it into 2-0, or even just trying to put it to the other side of the goalkeeper because he gave him half of the goal to aim it at, he tries to dink it over him. And you just think, look, do you know what? He's trying. Sometimes it feels as if he's trying too hard. I think if he'd scored that second goal against Alloa, he could have probably went on and get 3 or 4. I think he's a very confident player when he's up and running, but it's just getting him to that. And as you said, Brian, in the post-match, he was very downbeat about his first half of the season because of injuries, because of things like that. But I think when you see him on the park, when he's sort of buzzing about, the sort of performances he's had when he's come off the bench, when he's started at times as well, it's just one of those things where if you give him a bit of a run, and to be honest, he's probably going to be starting the Rangers game, so there's no way you can drop him tonight. If he gets a goal tonight, he gets a goal this week, get a goal at the weekend, maybe you'll see a totally different side to him, and he'll maybe try and use this as his sort of way to prove the doubters wrong, that he can play up front. I've been screaming out for Celtic to have a second goal scorer who can even chip in with 10 to 15 goals a season, because we've always got one that's going to score 20 to 30, but we need that secondary striker, and that might just be him, because he's a different option to everything that we've got up front.
He is a different option. Terrace Park, the early Rams fan who done well at the weekend there for all you NFL watchers, Jet was the best gladiator. That's one for us 80s kids there. Paradise 63 would put Abada up front. And David Kelly, and I'm going to bring this question to you, Brian. If Giakoumakis doesn't play with three strikers injured, then he has finished at Celtic. He has to play. Is that too early? Is that a too early shout? Or does it actually show, does it actually, if he doesn't play tonight, does it actually say something about how Postecoglou rates him?
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was making. I mean, if you're the only fit striker at club and you don't play, and a winger plays up front, then you've got, you know, another winger injured and one just coming back from injury, your confidence is going to go. And I think he'd be thinking, I'm not fit for this. But, you know, given the fact Postecoglou has been quite positive when he spoke about him, I think the rumours that at times suggested Postecoglou sort of really reached out to him to get him to the club. So I think he's going to show. I think he's going to come good. I really do. I know people have been kind of questioning and stuff like that, but, you know, regarding the second goal Colin was talking about, did Maeda give him a shout? You know, did they even realise anyone was next to him? Maybe he should have been more aware. He's not played a lot. He's probably not as sharp as he could be. So there's as many criticisms as there is excuses for him as well. And I think that with 2 goals and 3 starts and should have had a 3rd goal when he missed the penalty, which he brung up, so it obviously annoys him still. So I think there's more to come from him. But yeah, David's spot on. I think if he doesn't play tonight, that's, you're probably going to say he's not with the faith of the manager, in which case he's not going to feature much. But as Colin rightly said, I think he's going to play against Rangers, and I think you need people in tonight and give them these games to get his confidence up. And if it's a couple of goals tonight, you know, is it going to change people's opinion on him? Of course it will. Goals are what makes strikers. So I back the big fella. I think he's going to come good.
Pablo67, hope GG proves himself tonight. Michael Redman, big GG through the middle. And David C comes in on his defence. He just needs a run of games. Give the guy a chance. That's what we are willing to give the guy a chance, and we are willing to do that. We've spoke about him in the central position, Sean F. My concern tonight is not only taking the chances, but also taking them, like Kev said. Against Alloa, we didn't really create much but clear-cut chances, and it's been the same in some of the recent games as well. Who's alongside Giakoumakis tonight? Who's on the wings? Because it's up to them to create and take chances as well.
For me, it's Jota and Abada.
Okay. I would be Jota and Forrest. To be honest, I like Forrest's experience. get into Tynecastle. And I do think you can rely on Forrest. I think Abada's still a bit hot and cold. As much as I like Abada, which I do, he's still a bit hot and cold. And I think given that we have got players out, I think Forrest just gives a little bit extra experience. But either way, I mean, I think Jota, you've got to start him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think whether it's Abada or Forrest, I think either one will go to do a job. But for me, it would be Forrest.
I think what you've got to look at as well is in a game like this, it can be tight and you do need some players to come off the bench and change the game. And as it stands, if you start with Forrest, I don't really see Abada being that impact player that comes on and sort of gets himself into a game within 20 minutes. Whereas I think Forrest has the ability to do that because of his experience that he's got. The other thing is there as well, though, with the sort of amount of injuries we've picked up at the minute, who else is that person that you can turn to? We don't really have anybody else. Forrest's probably going to be the one on the bench tonight that you go, he's the guy. I'd like to see us bring up Joey Dawson again. And I know it's a big one to throw him in at Tynecastle. And I'm not saying start him, but it's just another option off the bench. And it's difficult to kind of rate him because he's played the B team at Lowland League. He played that game against St Johnstone as well. But we do need another option off the bench tonight. We need somebody that we can say, right, we've got Forrest and we've got this guy. And at the minute, we don't because of the amount of injuries we've picked up. It could be Mikey Johnson as well, but he's not really a guy that plays through the middle. Karamoko Dembele, I still think, is a couple of weeks away from being back in amongst the squad. So we've got to have another attacking option on the bench. We can't just kind of say, right, well, it's not working, so throw James McCarthy on.
Alan Duncan, Colin, goes for the opposite for what you've just suggested there. I think Forrest has to start with Abada on the bench because Gigi probably won't play 90 minutes, so we need Abada to replace him later on. The reason I'm going to agree with Brian, Colin, is because Callum McGregor's not there. Mm-hmm. And James Forrest comes in purely for experience reasons, and that's how he starts the game going to Tynecastle. And that was when I was writing down my team. I've went for Forrest and Jota. I haven't got a clue who's going to play through the middle. I've actually just got a question mark there, eh? But Alan Duncan does actually make that point, Brian, that Abada is an option coming off the bench as well, but I really do feel that Forrest experience has to start the game with Callum McGregor being missing.
Yeah, that was my thinking as well. Do you think who's going to captain tonight? Is Joe Hart vice captain?
Yeah. I'd say Beaton probably if Beaton starts at centre mid.
Well, here we go. We may as well get into the midfield situation now you've actually brung it up, eh? We have, when we were looking at the start of, after the winter break, it looked like we had quite a few options in the midfield. After 1 week, we're now struggling for options in the midfield. Tonight, we've lost Callum McGregor, our captain, which is a massive, massive loss. And we're looking to see who can replace him in the team. Nobody can replace him skill set. We've already said that he can play any of the three positions in the midfield. Nobody can replace his skill set. But somebody can replace his experience. And to replace his experience, you're looking at McCarthy or Beaton. And for once in my life, I'm going to shout for Near Beaton to start a Celtic game tonight. Because
Nero.
I'm going to shout for Nero to start a game tonight because I think he is the most natural replacement for Callum McGregor, experience-wise, that we can get in the middle of the park to sit at the number six position. Colin? Would Nero start for you?
Nero's in my squad when I was picking an 11 for tonight, and I think Andrew probably turned to him as well. It's all going to depend on who plays in that Hearts midfield tonight, who they're going to stick in there, whether they're going to stick Cammy Devlin alongside maybe Peter Haran, who's sort of been the pairing whilst Beningame's been out, who has been one of the players of the season in Scotland, to be fair, Beningame. If you've got Beningame and Devlin, they're two kind of creative and strong players. You're going to need Beaton to come in there and protect your back four. If they're playing what they played on Saturday, which I don't think they will, they had sort of eight defenders on the park at one point with Andy Halliday sort of playing up front. It was quite a weird formation. You might get away with playing someone like James McCarthy with his experience, but I still don't think he's up to speed. I know you said, Brian, that he was kind of putting himself about on Saturday, but I still don't think he's there. I still think he's someone that's going to be 30 minutes here, 45 minutes there, just to kind of get back up to it. It might even be a better option to play him on Saturday against Dundee United than this game on Wednesday night, to just to kind of keep the squad fit. Beaton, he's got the experience. Obviously, he's been known to make an odd mistake or two, which sort of doesn't help him. But as you say, Kev, it's like, he's been there, he's done that, he's got a T-shirt. Surely he can put in a 90 minutes for us tonight.
You would think he would be able to. I think he's the natural replacement. When I started, when my thoughts turned to this game, I was going, well, Beaton's going to play in that middle of the park, Brian. And the next person I thought of was Atati's going to play in the middle of the park as well. Do you think that Postecoglou will turn to Atati tonight as well after his very impressive debut against Hibs last week?
100%, yeah, Atati's going to start. I'm really excited to see tonight how he performs, because I know there's been a bit of discussion about how good he actually was, but I thought he was excellent. I thought he was really, really good when he played against Hibs. So I'm looking forward to see if he can replicate that tonight. I suspect he'll probably play the 10 role, because I think he can do that. And I think for me to be Beaton as well, I just think I'd even call McCarthy. I'm nose down on him with some. I think he's still got a part to play, but I don't think he can go the full 90 minutes yet. So it would be Beaton, Hatate and O'Reilly. I think he starts as well. And again, he's another guy I'm really excited about. Obviously, we've done our usual YouTube research and watched some highlights and stuff. And Al Morrison gave some really good feedback on him as well. So he's a player I'm really excited to see. And I think he actually fits the dynamic really nicely as the sort of box-to-box. And again, so for experience, Beaton, O'Reilly is sort of playmaker, Hatate is a 10. And then your usual back four, I don't see him changing that. So it'll be Hart, Juranovic, CCD, Starfield, and then Taylor. If we assume, say, Martin, Jota, Forrest, and Gigi up front, I still think that's a strong team. And I think it's a team that I'm really excited to watch playing. And it's as sad as it is that McGregor's injured, and I absolutely love McGregor, so I'm gutted. But this is a real opportunity for somebody to come in and take that place, because he's undroppable, McGregor. So if you're one of those midfielders, you go, right, okay, here's my chance. I've got the chance to be that guy, that key midfielder for the next bunch of games. And if somebody comes in and shows that mentality, that's great for Celtic, because when McGregor is back fit, it gives even more competition for places. So I kind of wait for the night, actually. Really looking forward to it.
The one thing I'm looking forward to seeing for O'Reilly is, and it's what came up in his dossier when everybody puts the kind of clips of him together, is his set-piece delivery. Because I think that's something that we've missed all season. We've not really had someone that we can rely on to whip a good ball in from a free kick or a corner. And by all accounts, this boy seems to put a decent delivery in. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think Hearts will give you plenty of fouls tonight. There'll be plenty of nippy tackles around the ankle area. So it'll be a case of getting the ball in. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Starfelt and CCV get a couple of chances on goal just from free kicks and corners. So we've got to play to our strengths. We have two kind of very good centre-halves in the air, and CCV and Starfelt. If you're playing Ralston, he's another person who's a strong threat in the air as well. So it'd be interesting to see. I don't know about you guys, but see, when it comes to Celtic getting a free kick this season, I have no idea who's over it. Because in Turnbull's not in the park, it just seems to be anybody that fancies a goal.
Juranovic just took a couple for the edge of the box as well, eh? And it doesn't seem to be a natural order or a natural person on the park. He just said, I'll have a go this time. I'll give it a bang. Big Beaton's had a couple as well over the season. Ewan Boy Martin, Beaton, Atati and O'Reilly in the midfield for me tonight. Alan Robertson, keep changing my mind whether we should start O'Reilly in the midfield. Is it a risk? Colin, is it a risk for O'Reilly to come into this game? You look at the three players that are vying for the one other position in the midfield. It's Sorrell, McCarthy and O'Reilly. When you break it down, that's saying that Beaton and Atati are actually starting, because I think they two will definitely start. So you've got those three vying for the Tom Rogic space, in my opinion. O'Reilly is the more natural fit when you see what options that Ange Postecoglou has available, unless he brings in McCarthy and Atati does the Tom Rogic role. But is it a risk for O'Reilly to come into Scottish football? in this game, and,
of course,
and,
it is.
And announce himself.
Of course, it is. Every game that you could potentially throw him into is a potential risk, and it's probably even more of a risk because you're sitting going, well, if he does pick up an injury, who comes in after that? And the options aren't great. So it's a risk. It's probably one we're going to need to take because of the options that's round about us. And, I mean, Ange has been very coy with what he's saying with the likes of the injury to Callum McGregor and to Idiguchi as well as to what their timescales will be for them coming back. I mean, it would be great if it was a 60,000 under the Parkhead lights and it all goes dark and the Rey Mysterio theme tune comes out and out comes Callum McGregor with a mask on ready to play the 90 minutes. But we just kind of see it happening at the minute. I hope he's back fit soon, but as it stands, this is the three that you've got and this is the three we're going to need to rely on, not just for tonight, but for Saturday and then for Wednesday as well. We're going to need to try and wrap them up in bubble wrap as much as possible, but also get the 3 points done as quick as possible too.
It is. We need to get 3 points. Monty comes in. I'll just bring him up there. Celtic need to concentrate on playing their football tonight and not get involved in the over-physical nonsense. Play our football, score the goals and teach them a footballing lesson. 3-1 to Celtic. Monty's actually going for there. If you take Monty's what will and want on board there, you play O'Reilly, don't you, Brian?
Yeah.
Because it suits us better than the options that are actually available.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's two ways to look at it. From Angie's perspective, I think he's definitely going to start him. I mean, Kyogo was basically just off a flight and he put him in against Starts, remember, at the start of the season. So
with Starfelt hadn't they actually...
He's not scared to put players straight in. And, you know, again, as we've discussed, I think the dynamic suits him. Also, by the look of it, I really liked the interviews with O'Reilly and the presser. He was rolled right into the press right away as well. And I think he's got a real good attitude. And that's something that Postecoglou seems to really like in a player. So I get Colin's point about if he gets injured, what do you do? But if you get down that rabbit hole, then you don't want to play anybody. And you're out there doing Cockrell Fibbers. I think he's got to start. And I tell you what as well, this is with the measure of a player. See, if your first game is at Tynecastle, when you know your captain's injured and you're up against the wall and you go there and you play well, that sets him off in a great stead. So I think for guys like him and Gigi, there's a real upside here to playing tonight because they go in there against that. And yes, we should beat them, but it's still a hard fixture. Tynecastle always is, and Hearts have been good this season. So him and Gigi play well. That sets us up really well for the rest of the season with the two. And so yeah, again, just to echo, I can't wait. I'm on the match coverage tonight actually with Paul and Laura, I think. So I'm already excited about it. I've not got any team meetings today, that's why I've got my second.
See, when you look at it, Kev, first game of the season, that team that started on the first day, and you compare it to a team that we can potentially put out there tonight, it's night and day. If we play the spirit that we played on the first day of the season at Tynecastle and you get the decisions that you should have got with the players that we can play, then we should be able to come away with the 3 points tonight. It all comes down to the spirit of the team and how well that we play. Never mind Hearts, is what we do on the park tonight.
Definitely. Go on, Colin. You've been on fire today, Colin. You've been brilliant today. Coming on, no risk at an O'Reilly tonight. Hearts know nothing about him. Aye, for me, I want to be sitting at 10 o'clock with Scottish football going to O'Reilly. Who are you, pal? Where did you come from? I really want that to actually happen. Colin got that joke. I'm going to bring up the last comment just before we sign off, and it's a really good one from Martin O'Neill. Maybe it's the right Martin O'Neill, I don't know, maybe it is. Martin O'Neill on YouTube: when the club are looking at pre-season opponents for next year, it'd be nice to see them play Feyenoord as a tribute to Wim, and there'd be a decent test for the boys. I think it would be brilliant to play Feyenoord in tribute to Wim Jansen for what he actually contributed to both clubs. As Brian says he's on the match day tonight with Laura and Paul, and it's sure to be better than Sky's coverage anyway. So I just want to thank you all for watching and listening. You really are all the best. The comments have been fantastic today. It's been great fun. Now, on a bit of a serious note, we'll all end on a bit of a serious note. At the game tonight, the crowd have been asked on the 13th minute to have a minute of applause for 13-year-old Devon Gordon, who tragically last week took his own life. Both clubs tonight will wear the FC United to prevent suicide jerseys in the warm-up. Now, we're on the middle of a pandemic, and the pandemic's been tough, really, really tough on youngsters. So anybody that's listening, anybody that's watching, if you're a mum, a dad, a brother, sister, auntie, uncle, cousin, godfather, godmother, friend, or even just a next-door neighbour to a young person, just please, please check on them. Any young person that you love or you've got any involvement in, just please check in on them and just tell them that you're actually there if they ever need to speak to you. So, Brian, and that'll see you all later. Be kind to each other and hail, hail, lads.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.